I want this to be a very informal class. You can interrupt me anytime. If you have a question about anything, raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and we'll talk about it. And back a few years ago, the Lord's called me to preach, and I've been preaching 53 years. Pastored four different churches. I live here in Roanoke. In fact, I live right here off of Peters Creek. I could be here in 10 minutes. And brother back there's got a 7-hour drive ahead of him later on today. Fellas, a few years ago, God moved on my heart, and I know for a fact that God has called me not only to preach, but He's given me the gift of evangelism. And I've been, again, pastor for five different churches, but I'm an evangelist now. And I have health problems, and so I'm not pastoring anymore. And the Lord has spared my life. I can share just a testimony. I was 42 years old and had a heart attack. Sitting in a man's living room talking to him about the Lord, and had a heart attack. And I just excused myself like a dummy, got in my car and drove back to the church. And since that time, I've had four more heart attacks. And so the Lord just spared my life. And I praise Him for that. I have 17 stents in my heart. And I've had 15 heart catheterizations. I share all that because it's the Lord. He just spared my life, and I praise Him for it. And I'm from the old school. And that is, God's allowed me in the years that I've been in the ministry to start four churches. And I appreciate that. But I believe in a lot of this. And you know what that is. I enjoy witnessing one-on-one. The Lord's blessed. I've had people saved revival meetings. And in fact, I had a lady saved not too long ago. I was teaching this little booklet. You know, I'll tell you about that in just a moment. I was teaching this little booklet to in a church. And right in the middle of it, the lady raised her hand. She said, "I'm not saved." And so, of course, we just stopped right then. And she came down, and I just took the time and led her to the Lord right there. In our class. And so, again, I count it a privilege to be able to share the Lord Jesus Christ. But back a few years ago, God moved on my heart to write this little booklet, Learning Leading Souls to Christ. And I've studied all kind of books about soul winning and witnessing. And many of those I thought were just too extensive. You've got too many verses you have to remember. You've got all kind of ideas and things, and I've titled this book right here. It's the same copy. I just made another copy. Common Sense Approach to Evangelism. And this is nothing new. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Right. Yeah. And so I'm not going to teach you, I don't think, anything new here this morning, but I want to share some things that God's laid on my heart and how that God has used me in leading people to Christ. And God has blessed me. The last church, previous church before the last one, I was this guy's pastor right here for a while. Of course, you guys know Stephen here. And I pastored a little church up in Catawba for about 3.5 years. We called a youth pastor. Now he's the pastor. And we're getting ready to vote on this guy right here tomorrow at our church as assistant pastor. And so we're thrilled about that. But this one is just a common sense approach of leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me share some things with you this morning. Number one, you need to know that you're saved. You need to know that you're saved and that you have a personal testimony. And because you'll be able to use that testimony in leading people to Christ. Let me share an illustration. Back a couple of years, well, a little longer than that, I was conducting a revival up in Charlottesville, and the pastor asked me to make a visit with him. And so we went out, and we backed down a little dirt road, and we found this little house out there, and there's a guy out there on his Harley. And I thought I'd been pulled into Hell's Angels headquarters out there. These motorcycles around, but then they got up all left, and they found out I was a preacher. But the guy that lived there. And I began to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, "I don't even believe there's a God." He said, if there's a God, then why did God take my wife and leave me with these three little children? They were little, just like stair steps. And I said, I can't answer that question. And by the way, fellows, if you do any visiting at all, people are going to ask you questions that you can't answer.
That's right.
And if you can't answer, don't hem all around, tell them you don't know. And this guy asked me, why did God take my wife? I said, I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I'd had an experience in my own family that I was able to relate to him. A few years prior to that, my daughter was pregnant, carried a little baby for 9 months, and she lived 3 days. And the Lord took her home. And so I shared that testimony with him that God took her home. And when my granddaughter died, I went into the hospital room. I never saw her alive. When I got there, she had already passed away. I was in Ohio in a meeting. But anyway, when I walked in the room and my daughter asked me this question, Daddy, why? And I said, honey, I don't know why, but I know this. God is good and what he does is right. And I shared this testimony with this particular man. And he said, you're the dumbest man I've ever seen. He said, I never heard such a thing. And I said, God is good. I went through the plan of salvation with him. He didn't get saved. But then we did. I mean, he's a burly looking guy. Had a big head of hair and a beard and tattoos all over him. When I got through with him, I said, let me pray with you. So when I prayed with him, he didn't get saved. He come over there, grabbed me around and picked me up off the ground, kissed me on the cheek. He said, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. But he never got saved. Now, that's been back about 3 or 4 years ago. But anyway, there are going to be questions asked you from time to time. You can't answer. And don't be embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed at all. Somebody asked me something. I said, I don't know. I can't answer that. And so don't be embarrassed. And I think that's the reason many people don't go out witnessing, is because they're afraid. Somebody's going to ask them something they can't answer. And I have had them to tell me this. I don't know enough Bible. I don't know enough scriptures to witness. Now, here's what I do. I use two passages of scriptures when I go on visitation or go witness. Two. I use two. Yes, sir.
Alan, I apologize. I don't want to take you down a rabbit trail, but I do have a question real quick.
Sure.
I do visitation at church and that kind of thing. I've done it before, and a couple of times I've caught myself, just like your old that fellow there, I've caught myself trying to make small talk or get to know, you know, as you get there. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is just very simple. Is when you got there, that fella, and you didn't know him, big burly guy, motorcycle rider, what was your first comment to him? I know you didn't walk up and say, hey, buddy, I'm going to share the Lord with you.
No.
How did you?
I was with the pastor, and the pastor knew about the death of this man's wife. Okay. I don't know that he knew him.
Okay.
And that when he told him who he was, and then he introduced me, and so we began to talk about his family.
Okay.
And that's something I was going to bring out here in just a moment. If I go in a house in a situation I've never been, don't know the people, I look for something to start the conversation. I look for maybe a family portrait over here, and I say, hey, Bill, is this your wife and kids? I mean, yeah. But anyway, and then what you're doing, you're trying to set the at ease. You know, because if they know you're a preacher or why you're there, it's almost there on the defense to start with. And so, therefore, you're trying to set the stage to be able to talk to him about the Lord. And just to make it, and that's what I do with an individual. And so that's, but now if I go there and I know the family and I, you know, I've met them previously, you know, I don't have to say those things. We just talk in general. If they got a dog, you make a comment about it, a cat or whatever. I notice you got an antique car out there, whatever it is. And all you're doing is trying to set the stage and set that family and that person at ease. And so that's the approach that I use. And so that's how I get in there. But people, many times, we're afraid. And sometimes we allow people to intimidate us, especially professional people like doctors, lawyers. But you know, God convicted me years ago. If anybody, I'll be intimidated to them. Because, you know, I'm royal, I belong to the family of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm a born-again Christian. And so God has helped me overcome that. But most of that is just experience. And I asked my heart doctor back a couple of years ago, maybe longer than that. I said, "Hey, doc, are you a Christian?" He said, "I've always been a Christian." Well, you know, that's not true. And we'll say more about that in just a moment. But first of all, you got a testimony. You need to look for something to open the conversation with. And again, you may be asked questions that you can't answer, and that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And by the way, you're there not to be remembered, but you're there representing Christ. If they forget your name when you leave, they should never forget the name of Christ and why you're there. You didn't come to impress them. You didn't come to quote a bunch of scriptures, you know, and they say, "Wow, that guy knows a lot of Bible." We're not there to impress anybody. We're there as a representative, and we're an ambassador, and we want to share the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're there. And so you're not there to impress anyone at all. And again, when you go out and do any witnessing, if you do much of it, I'm going to say 9 out of 10, it may be 10 out of 10, if you ask a person if they're a Christian, the answer is going to be yes. That's going to be almost every time, yes. Now, that's not the end of the conversation. That's the beginning. And if they ask you, if you ask them if they're a Christian, they say yes, I respond immediately, "When did you get saved?" And a lot of times they look at you and say, "When did I get what?"
Yeah.
"What are you talking about?" And so therefore, don't be embarrassed, fellas. Don't be embarrassed. Use those two terms. Being saved, being born again. Now, I told you I use two passages of Scripture when I go witnessing soul winning. I use John 3 and Romans 10, starting verse 9. Those are the only two I use. They're the only two. And I don't want to get there and have them trying to keep up me flipping through the Bible and starting from Genesis and going all the way through Revelation. I don't do that. And so I use those two scriptures, and I use the two terms to be saved and to be born again. Now, if Stephen, he and I were out visiting, and I'd say, "Stephen's been saved," he may share his testimony. And I'd say, "Your name again is
Joe.
I'd say, "Joe, you've been born again." If a person's been saved, they've been born again. If they've been born again, they've been saved. It's the same experience. You can't be saved and not be born again. Can't be born again and not be saved. And so therefore, use those terms. Don't be embarrassed and don't be afraid to use those terms. And I had a young man coming to my house a few years ago selling Bibles, working his way through college. And I went to the door and he told me who he was, had a little satchel, you know, and he told me, you know, he went to a certain college and he was out trying to raise money and selling Bibles. I said, "You a Christian?" He said, "I'm an Episcopalian." I said, "Are you a born-again Episcopalian?" And he said, "Am I a what?" I said, "Born-again." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "Let me see that Bible you got." I just took the Bible, opened it over there, went over there, John 3, went back to Romans 10, went through the plan of salvation. He said, "I've never heard that in my life."
Yeah.
And after I went through the plan of salvation, he said, "I want that." And he got saved on my front porch.
I remember that.
And so, again, don't be afraid to use those terms. If a person to say that they're Christian, that's not the end. That's the beginning. When did you become a Christian? Where do you go to church? I was not visiting from our church, Stephen. It's been back a couple of years ago, and I asked this guy, I said, his kids had come to the VBS. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, "We were just talking to John." I said, "Where do you go to church?" He turned around, "Honey, where do we go to church?" So you knew immediately he'd go to church. And he didn't know anything about church. And so I had an opportunity to share the Lord. But I'm sharing with you, if a person says they're Christian, that does not mean they're born again. Because people have all kind of concepts of what it is to be a Christian. And we'll get into some of those here in just a little bit. Again, don't be afraid to use those terms. To be saved, to be born again. When were you saved? Where were you saved? Where do you go to church? Those type of questions. And again, use those terms. Now, I've got my Bible here, but I didn't bring my small Bible. When I go on visitation or witnessing, I've got a Bible fits right in here. And I don't carry this big Bible over here to this guy's house. And so anyway, my pastor friend calls it pulls out the derringer. And so just pull out a New Testament and use that as your witness to individuals. And so always have your Word of God with you. And you'll explain it. Now, when you get over there to John chapter 3, explain what it is to be born again. Explain that. And go right down through those verses. And in fact, I've got it turned right here. John chapter 3. Just go right through that. Tell the story about Nicodemus coming to the Lord. And Christ told him, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And explain that. An illustration that I use when I'm talking about the new birth is a fact, and I'll ask it, and then I'll say, Stephen, you have a mom and dad? Yes. I said, the reason your dad is your dad and your mom is your mom because you were born in that family. God is a heavenly father, and the only way you can be his child, you have to be born into his family. Mm-hmm. And so you explain the new birth. How do you get born again? Go right over there to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and you read that. And explain that to them, what it is, to confess your sin, believe in your heart, go right down through that. So explain that to them. Because you may be talking to a person who has no idea, they're not church affiliated at all. And so therefore, you guys ought to know those two texts, you ought to know them. I had a professor in seminary years ago, he said, you ought to know, he's talking about sermons, said, oh, you ought to know your sermon, if I call you at midnight, you jump up in the bed and say, point number one, point number two, point number three. You want to know the scriptures. Especially those two texts. That's all you need. Now, if God gives you another verse to use from somewhere else, that's fine. But know those texts, those scripture passages, and God will give you the ability to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I make a reference here to Acts chapter 8. All of we that are in this room this morning, somebody led us to Christ. Somebody led us to Christ. It was my pastor. My pastor led me to the Lord. Let me give you a brief testimony. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. I don't ever remember a time in my life I didn't go to church. There were eight in my family. I'm not going to get into all the background there, but anyway, we had a Bible school, and the commencement exercise, my brother, who is 3 years older than me, he went down to the front and the invitation. I went down. So then we joined the church. We were baptized. Several years later, I was 17 years old, and we got a new pastor, and Joe Farmer said he shucked the corn. I mean, he laid it out there. When he did, God pointed to me, hey, you're not saved. You're not born again. And you know, I had a big lump in my throat, and I said, what are all these people going to think? If I go down here, what are they going to think? Well, when I was in church, all the teenagers sit on the back row. And I was right in the middle. The teenagers are sitting all around me here. God got a hold of me so under strong conviction, I stepped up in the pew I was sitting in, stepped over into the pew in front of me, walked out to the end of that pew, stepped in the aisle, and went forward. And I told that preacher, I need to get saved. He said, I thought you were saved. I said, no, I need to get saved. So he led me to the Lord. And I was baptized. And so I tell people I was baptized the first time, and the only thing that happened was I went in dry and come out wet. It didn't mean a thing. And so after I was saved, of course, I know the difference. I know what baptism means. And we may touch on that here in a little bit. But now, somebody led us to the Lord. Somebody. Could have been your mom. Could have been your dad. Could have been a pastor. Could have been an evangelist. Could have been a Sunday school teacher. Could have been a best friend. Could have been a grandparent. Somebody led us to the Lord. And in Acts chapter 8, if you remember, the Ethiopian eunuch had been to Jerusalem. He came for the purpose of worship. You know the scriptures. And all of a sudden, he's on his way back home. God spoke to Philip up at Samaria. And so now he says, I want you to go to the desert. So he strikes out across the desert, goes, and here's this caravan going across the desert. And the Spirit of God moved on him to join himself. If you know the story, he was reading, the eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And he talked about the being led before the slaughter, being dumb, he opened not his mouth. And so Philip asked him, do you understand? Understandest thou what thou readest? And here's what he said. How can I accept some man would guide me? And so that's where you and I are. We have to guide individuals and show them what it really means to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And again, age has nothing to do with it. I'm trying to remember, was it Jimmy at church last night? His little girl, 4 years old, was saved. Just yesterday, I guess, just got saved. And so my son, who's now a nurse and lives in Lynchburg, he was 5 years old when he got saved. Now, I can't give you an age. I think when a child or individual knows that they're not a Christian and see the need for Christ, you can't put an age. You can't put an age on that. And the oldest person I think I've ever led to the Lord was a lady 89 years old who accepted Christ. And she was so excited and thrilled when I baptized her. She liked to baptize me. She was so excited and thrilled, slapping the water and praising the Lord. So people can get saved, and you know this as well as I do, that today is the day of salvation, and whosoever will let him come. And so this morning, there are people that do not know the Lord. Education has nothing to do with it. Education has absolutely nothing to do with it. And so this morning, is a person can get saved when the Lord speaks to them. And so I want to share with you some answers that I have gotten when I ask a person if they're a Christian. And I'll ask an individual, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Catholic. Sometimes that throws a barrier up. I'm a Catholic. The phrase I use all the time is, I just gave it to you a few moments ago, are you a born-again Catholic? I'm a Baptist, you're born again Baptist. I'm a Methodist, you're born again Methodist. Whoever you are. And again, use those terms, and that's going to give you the opportunity. Then I've been baptized. You'll hear that. And when I get that response, I used to, what's baptism mean? Well, the response you're going to get, that's when you wash away your sin. Well, you know that's not true. And I say, well, if water washes your sin away, every time you take a shower, you wash your sin down the drain. And so that's not it. It's not water. And so you have the opportunity to explain the new birth and explain and present salvation. So you hear that. I've been baptized. You hear, I've always been a Christian. Again, that's not true. I grew up in church. I had a lady say, well, I'm an American. And foreign countries think everybody in the United States is a Christian. And that's not true. You know that. That's just not true at all. And then I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen. I'm not a bad person. I grew up in a Christian home. I go to church all the time. I work hard to provide for my family. I'm a deacon. I say, are you a born again deacon? I sing in the choir. Are you a born again singer in the choir? Again, ask those questions. Don't be embarrassed to ask them. And most of the time, they're not going to be offended. They're going to ask you what that means. And again, that's an open door for an opportunity to witness. And so, again, don't be afraid to use that term at all. And never be critical. Never be critical of even cults that come to your door. Have you ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door? See some heads. Somebody tell me, what do you tell them when they come to your door? What do you say?
I asked him about the 144,000.
Okay, that's good.
Let's try the Jehovah.
I get immediately to Jesus.
Okay.
I go right to the exclusiveness of the sinless Savior and the deprivation, the total despair of my sin.
Good.
Only Jesus. Okay. You've got to get to Jesus.
Right.
You can talk about 144,000. I'm not saying I haven't broach that a little bit, but that ain't gonna say. You know, you're gonna I don't need to understand the theology. I need to know who Jesus is. Who do you say? Jesus said, who do you say I am?
Yeah.
Come on, then.
That's it. Anybody else?
Just get them.
Yes.
I try to bring it back to them to explain to me how they can know for sure they're going to heaven and to see what kind of response they give.
They don't.
Yeah. No. They can't answer that.
They can't answer that. That's good. Hopefully it's good. Yes.
I'll play the dummy and ask them how to get to heaven and see if they can give me their plan of salvation. And then.
Now, here's what I do. I kind of try to shock them when they come to my door. And when they come and tell me who they are, I say, you know, the Bible says in the last days, false prophets are going to come. And I say, here you are. That's what I tell them. What do you mean? That again opens the door. What are you talking about? Again, that opens the door. And so you again be able to do some things. You're talking about to present Christ. Talk about whatever the Lord gives you. Go through the plan of salvation. But I try to shock them. A few weeks ago, I was in the hospital over here in Roanoke making a visit. And I got on an elevator with four Jehovah's Witnesses in that elevator and tried to give me one of these watchtowers. And handed it on. I said, I don't want that. What do you mean you don't want that? I said, because y'all are cult. We are cult.
Yeah, yeah.
It was four black ladies, and I thought they was going to whip me in that thing. I'm telling you, they ganged up on me. I'd be big time. They really did. And then, of course, they got off the elevator. But I try to shock them. And by doing that, you know, they, you know, what do you mean we're called? Why do you think we're called? And again, that's going to give you an opportunity to share the Lord. I do the same thing with the Mormons. I do the same thing. The same approach. Mm-hmm. And again, that's going to give you an opportunity. Now, speaking of opportunity, that's going to, sometimes God will just bring people in your life that you weren't even expecting. Yeah. And different times in your life, God's going to bring people up. Sometimes you go out intentionally on purpose looking for an opportunity to witness. And I've done that, and we've all done that. But sometimes God will just bring people in your life that you won't even expect. And sometimes I go over here to the mall, and I just walk around and see some guy sitting on the bench over by himself. I just go over and sit down beside of him and just sit there a few minutes. You know, how you like the weather today? What's a rainy day? What do you think about forecast? Call for snow. Just start a general conversation. And then I begin, you know, you live in Roanoke? You go to church here? Mm. And just automatically start a conversation. And then have the opportunity. But I had the privilege to lead the manager of the mall to the Lord. Just by a conversation just like that. And so, but then there will be other times God will just bring people your way you won't even be expecting. I went and followed up on a visit back a few years ago from the pastor. This family, this had been to church. And I went over there to follow up on the visit. And I banged on the door, and finally the guy came to the door. I woke him up. He was a policeman. And he had worked that night, and I apologized. Thank you for coming to church, and I'll come back another time. But just as I started leaving, there was a guy standing in the yard over here looking at me. Had a rake in his hand, just standing looking at me. I said, I just went on over there. Well, he wanted who I was, what I was doing in his neighborhood, and all that kind of stuff. And so I began to talk to him, you know, in general, all this, told him all. But anyway, it led to the fact, and I began to ask him where he went to church. Well, I would go to church. And so I had an opportunity. I went through here using the scriptures I just gave you, over here in John, in Romans. And the man got saved in his yard. Mm-hmm. He accepted the Lord. I wasn't expecting that, didn't plan that. God just brought that to pass. And of course, I went back that night and led his wife to the Lord. And that Sunday, I encouraged them to come to church, and they did. And I explained about making public profession of faith. Use Matthew 10, 33 and 32 and 33. Confess me before men, deny me before men. And he came forward, he and his wife, making public profession of faith, and presented himself as a candidate for baptism. And just as the pastor, I wasn't a pastor, I was just made the visit, came down with him. And the man said, I want to share something. And here's what he said. He said, I've been looking for God for 2 years and found him in my front yard. So there'll be times that God will bring people your way that you don't plan on it, but God will bring people your way. And so just be prepared. And you have it in your heart. The Lord in your heart, you have him in your life. And so that being true, just be prepared. And who knows when God will give you the opportunities. Again, I shared with you, I've been in and out of the hospital so many times with heart problems. And this is not being boastful or braggadocious at all. I can't tell you the nurses I've led to the Lord in the hospital. And the last time I was there, which had been over a year ago, nurse came in at night shift, and I led her to the Lord. She ran out in the hall. She said, I went in there to help him, and he helped me. I got saved. She told all the other nurses. God will bring people your way that you're not even prepared for. And then our church has Stephen and Aaron, who's the pastor. They go on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe. Follow up. Now, if you're a pastor, if a family visits your church, I've always, when I was pastoring, if a family came to our church on Sunday, they would see my face before next Sunday. I'd be at their house. And I think that's what Stephen, you guys are doing now, following up on visitors. Because most of the time, new families are either looking for for something, maybe they're new in town, maybe they're looking for another church. And so therefore, if visitors come, always they're a priority. They are a priority. And you may have opportunities to lead those families to the Lord. And so God's just going to bring opportunities your way. Now this one, it needs to really dawn on us that people die without Christ are going to go to hell. Now this morning, let me ask you a question. When you think about people that die and go to hell, who are the kind of people we think about? Well, let me tell you. Liars, robbers, murderers, rapists, terrorists. We think of all those people. Let me tell you who die and go to hell. Moms and dads and brothers and sisters and grandparents, next door neighbors, people you work with. But you know, we don't think about that. We think about violent and really wicked people. And speaking of our neighbors, let me tell you some of the hardest people that I have found in my life to witness to and win to Christ is your family. Your family are the hardest ones you'll win to Christ. And the reason is they remember how you were and not how you are. Well, used to run around and drink, cuss, and smoke, and chew, and all that kind of stuff. They remember all that. And they want to bring up the past. That's not how you are now. My oldest brother ran me away from his home, and I didn't see him for 2 years. He didn't want to talk to me. 2 years. His son went to church not far from where they lived and got saved. Went home, told his dad, and he talked his dad into going back to church with him. And so the next Sunday, his dad went to church with him, and my brother, his dad, got saved. My phone rang at the church that Sunday morning, and somebody was blubbering on the other end, and I couldn't hardly understand what he was saying. It was my brother who had gotten saved. 2 years prior to, he didn't want to talk about it. But God used his son, who got saved, to bring his dad to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't be discouraged with your family. Some of you, I'm sure, have family members that aren't Christian. Aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, that aren't saved. Don't be discouraged. They're hard. They're difficult. They're really hard to witness to. And sometimes they'll get mad at you, run you off. Your own family will. And so just pray for them, live the life before them, and if you have opportunities, share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And so, but anyway, don't be discouraged with your family. They're hard. They're difficult. Have any of you had an experience with your family that was not receptive? Any of you experienced that? They're hard. They're just tough. And again, they won't think about what you were and this kid growing up and all that kind of stuff. And so they want to reflect on the past. And so don't be discouraged. 2 years I didn't see my brother. But I was the first one he called when he got saved. And so just hang in there with him. And so just be faithful to the Lord. And just take the opportunities when they come.
Yes. Quick question or comment. My dad was in his 60s and right on my shift working on the cracker one day, and I toiled and struggled with sharing the gospel with him, and I was scared to death to share the gospel with him because I was afraid he'd reject,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing. But I did, and we were going through it, and I put it in simple terms. We got a sixth grade education, and we were talking about it, and I said, "Well, Pops, you know," I kind of eased into it, and I said, "Well, do you believe you've done wrong during life?" And he said, "Well, yeah, everybody has." I said, "That's right." I said, "Well, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine?" He said, and his answer was, "Yes, don't everybody?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No, they don't."
Right.
And so my dad accepted Christ then. But my question was, I've got a son that accepted Christ at an early age in life, went forward, and I think it was real and genuine, but now he hasn't been walking with the Lord. I mean, he's a good man, he's a police officer, he's military, all these kind of things that tend to push the man to the ego side as opposed to the spiritual side. And, you know, my wife says all the time, "Well, I'm worried about him, I don't know if he's saved," these kind of things. And it's a tough thing, but we find ourselves judging him.
Right.
And I asked him one day about reading his Bible, some other stuff. He says, "Well, yeah, I can read my Bible." And I said, "Well, what have you been reading?" Just kind of, he's talking the book of James right now. And so, I don't know, but we're talking about family, and we're talking about him, and you said, you know, don't push him, and that's what we've tried not to do, but still, in our hearts, it's a burden to know whether for sure he is or not.
Well, the truth cuts. Things that you say about his relationship to the Lord, I'm not saying your son's not lost, but if he is reading his Bible, God can be bring him into conviction.
Yeah.
You never know. And I just experienced, it was a year ago, the last of October, in my family. My son died right here in Roanoke in a house fire. About a year ago, last Sunday, in our last day of October. But at one time, my son was in church. He did a lot of speaking, conducted youth revivals. He graduated from college, wanted to be, he was a computer programmer, and wanted to be in business, and so he did. And he went and established his business in a different state. He had 39 men working for him, under him, and did well, prospered well, but got away from the Lord, mm-hmm. got away from God. Mm-hmm. And as he got away from God, he developed bipolar. And developing bipolar, he lost his business. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hit first down, lost his business. And all this time, I think God was dealing with him. I believe God was dealing with him, seeking to get him back where he needed to be. And of course, I shared with him many times. He used to sing in church. He used to do that. But anyway, I had talked to him that night before, and I believe I shared this with him. Brother back here, I talked with him the night before at 9 o'clock and went to his house and talked to him. But anyway, when I went out the door, he said, "Pop," he always called me Pop. He said, "Pop, I love you. Those words I cherish."
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because of the fact that 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call to come to the ER. And when I got there, he was dead.
Oh, bless your heart.
And that's devastating.
Yes, it is, sir.
It is. And I don't know if the Lord just took him home sooner, just kept getting more rebellious, and I'm not saying your son's
right,
that way.
Right.
But I know sometimes God can use drastic measures to get the attention of people.
Yes.
And if you were to ask me the question, could a Christian die a premature death? I believe they can.
Absolutely.
I believe they can. I believe you can just run and run and run and run and be rebellious for such a long period of time. God said, hey, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
And we've already heard one of the sermons, Jonah's in the belly of a whale.
Mm-hmm.
And but now God can get your attention. But you know, even God can use tragedies. God can use tragedies to get results and even get other people saved. And other people can come to know the Lord. My father-in-law passed away about 13 years ago. I conducted his funeral. And when I conduct a funeral, I always give a plan of salvation.
Amen.
Always. Always, always. And I gave the plan of salvation and I had to bow their heads and I said, all of those of you that are not Christian and today you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior and begin a new life, 14 people raised their hand.
Praise God.
I said, I've trusted the Lord. God can use tragedies to bring glory and honor to His name. And so, again, on your families, don't be discouraged. And patience is one, it's not my greatest attribute, I share with you. It's not at all. But I'm going to go ahead. We got about 1 minute, I think. Yes, sir.
Quick question to you then. Adjust, change anything when you run into a Muslim?
When I do what?
Encounter a Muslim.
I can't stand here and say to you that I have ever witnessed to a Muslim. I've never, I've had an opportunity. It's not that I would, you know, wouldn't, but I just haven't had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, I've been overseas a number of times and I've preached outside. And they would come and stand on the outskirts. They wouldn't come into actually where we were preaching in the streets over there. And they would listen. But I've never had an encounter with one. You?
I just met one in the restaurant and he accepted the Bible.
Yeah. Wonderful.
But the rest of his answers made no sense.
Yeah.
So I'm praying for him. His name's
Mubarak. He no doubt is ignorant. I'm not talking about his education, but the things of the real true God. I'd say he's ignorant to the things of the Lord. And
you got the Word.
Yeah.
But you got the Bible. And hopefully, I was English and able to read that.
I've had a chance as a prison chaplain to talk to a lot of Muslims. And I was running a conversation around, you know, every faith has a theology of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I will ask them, what does your faith believe about Jesus? And so, in their case, they believe Jesus was a great prophet.
Right.
And I said, no, he's not a very good prophet, because he claimed to be Jesus, he claimed to be God.
Yeah.
And he's really a bad prophet, if you believe he's a prophet. And bring it around to what Christ has done for us, and who Christ is. And making a distinction between Jehovah and Allah.
Right.
And I've had a chance to meet several Muslims to the Lord.
That's fantastic.
The prison, yep.
Yep. Tremendous. God bless you.
And that's how we done it, bringing it back to who Christ is.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yep.
What about
our time's about
Jesus.
Our time's about up. I think we got about a minute. Any other comment?
Yes, but did you preach your son's funeral?
No, I did not. I preached my mother's funeral. My mother, who was a devout Christian, God took her home. She's riding with my sister in the car. She died in the car with heart failure. But I conducted my mom's funeral. Because I knew my mom loved the Lord and Sunday school teacher, set the example before all of the eight of us in my family, and she was about Christian. But I have no problem preaching Christian funerals. But I always, saved or unsaved, present salvation. Amen. Always.
That's right, God's brother. Amen.
Always. Let's pray. Father, we bless you for the opportunity to be able to share some things to these men today. And I pray something may have been said to encourage them or help them, and God give us all opportunities that we might be able to present the gospel. There are people all around us, family members, people we work with, next door neighbors, friends, and so the opportunities are there. God help us to take advantage and help us, Lord Jesus, to see people where they are, and God share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Everyone said?
Amen. Amen. Amen.